Good morning. Controversial topics are not new to the Methodist Church. Controversial topics are not new to the Christian Church. Controversial topics will not end as a result of the February 2019 United Methodist Church General Conference in St. Louis. If controversial topics are so prevalent, why don't we just address them candidly? In 146 days, 864 delegates, half laity, half clergy, will convene in St. Louis to receive and act on a report from the Commission on a Way Forward, a 32-member group appointed by the Council of Bishops to examine paragraphs in the United Methodist Church Book of Discipline concerning human sexuality. There will be an impact to Mandarin United Methodist Church regardless of the outcome of this general conference. In fact, the impacts are already beginning to take effect. Some members have decided that their beliefs are no longer represented by the United Methodist Church, and they have left Mandarin. Others have been drawn to our church because of the potential for change represented by the report of the Commission on a Way Forward. We have sponsored information sessions to help prepare our congregation for the debate and discussions, and will continue to provide resources leading up to next February. An example of that you heard about in this morning's announcements, the course beginning this Wednesday, Homosexuality and the Bible, that Pastor Debbie will be leading. In the throes of this controversy, I've been giving a lot of consideration to our middle name. That's right, it's right there in your bulletin, United. What does it mean to be united when we are faced with such diverse and steadfast opinions on every side of the topic? Does being united mean we have to agree on everything? I recently took a poll of church leaders on a few non-controversial topics to see how much unity there is. I asked the chairpersons of our church committees to respond to 6 questions. Let's have a look at the results. First question, what's your favorite ice cream? 4 options here: chocolate, vanilla, mint chocolate chip, and butter pecan. As you can see, all 4 choices are represented, and there was no one clear favorite. Question over to the right, what's your favorite time of day? Early morning, midday, early evening, or late night? Pretty even disbursement among these 4 choices. So for movie genre, we nearly had a majority on action adventure, but you can see that there were votes for all 4, comedy, drama, and thriller as well. On the next slide, we finally see some unity. Really? Yeah. Favorite meal on the left, you see that there is a majority. Not a lot of choice of seafood, pasta, or vegetarian. Our salad or vegetarian or pasta. We are a meat and potatoes group of chairpersons, and I can respect that. Looking at the season, so clear favorites here, spring and fall, right? And 1 vote for summer. Nobody likes winter. Okay, well, Chad likes winter. Leisure activity. I'm not certain I got honest responses here because there was 1 vote for watching TV. Exercising narrowly edged out socializing here, and I've seen our committee chairpersons. I can tell you they're not exercising to the extent that they tell us that they are. So clearly we see that we don't have to agree on everything to be united. But are there certain non-negotiable doctrines that can't be compromised? The history of the Methodist Church gives us a mixed answer. At the General Conference in 1844, that's right, 174 years ago, we've been at this a long time, a disagreement about slavery caused a pro-slavery group to separate from the Methodist Episcopal Church and form a new denomination named the Methodist Episcopal Church South. But wait, in 1939, the Methodist Episcopal Church South rejoined with the Methodist Episcopal Church and the Methodist Protestant Church to form a body called the Methodist Church. The differences that had bitterly divided them nearly 100 years earlier had been settled, and this disagreement around a human interpretation was no longer a doctrinal sticking point. This reminds me of one of my favorite stories. Some of you undoubtedly have heard me tell it before. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, "Don't do it." He said, "But nobody loves me." I said, "God loves you. Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you a Christian or a Jew?" He said, "A Christian." I said, me too. Are you Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant? Me too. Are you Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterian? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, die, heretic, and I pushed him over the bridge. Now, I don't mean to make light of a sensitive topic, but I do want to underscore the point here that the controversial topics of our day are often defined around very specific details, refined and brought to a cutting edge through the interpretations and influences of people. I believe that our scripture reading this morning from Matthew 16 reveals a much different focus according to Jesus. Reading from verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Peter recognized the essence of our salvation, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus himself anointed Peter as the rock on which he would build his church. So surely Peter would be unassailable in his understanding and interpretation of Christ's teachings, right? Yet later, as we see in the book of Acts, Peter has a fundamental misunderstanding that salvation through grace is only available to the Jewish faith. He changes his mind thanks to a supernatural vision that's revealed to him, in which he learns that he should not call anything impure that God has made clean. And despite this revelation, Peter later hedges on this belief, frankly due to political correctness, only to be called to account by Paul. Now keep in mind that Paul was formerly a zealous persecutor of Christians before his dramatic conversion experience on the road to Damascus. Let that sink in for a minute. The very rock upon which Christ built his church was opposed and held accountable on a fundamental Christian doctrinal principle by a man who dedicated the first 30 years or so of his life to persecution. Perhaps this suggests that there's room in each of us to consider the opinion and perspective of others in making our decisions. So what are we to do in making of the differences in interpretation related to human sexuality? What should we do? Last fall, I led a series of Wednesday night classes here entitled Did You Know?, which focused on some statements from the United Methodist Book of Resolutions related to social principles. Many of these took a firm stand on hot topics that we often debate in our society today, such as refugees, sanctity of human life, and drug and alcohol abuse. These classes led to spirited debate and, frankly, some surprises about positions that our denomination has adopted at general conferences over the years. At the end of each of these classes, I presented three options to consider for those that didn't agree with the adopted position as stated in the Book of Resolutions. The first option is you can agree to disagree. You can say, I don't agree with that, but you know what? It's just not that significant to make me want to take any action. Option number two is to seek to change. I don't like it, and I'm going to do something about it. And I want you all to know that through our Book of Discipline, there is a process in which any one of us as individuals, our groups, United Methodist men, United Methodist women, Sunday school classes, can put forward a petition to change the Book of Discipline or the Book of Resolutions. So there is a path to do that if you feel adamant about wanting to seek to change something that is represented in certain parts of the Book of Discipline or in the Book of Resolutions. The third option that I presented was that you can disconnect. And this would occur when you determine that your individual Christian identity cannot align with this position, and you just have no other option than to leave the church. Many of you may know that my family and I were longtime members of Lakewood United Methodist Church, further down San Jose Boulevard, from 1996 to 2012. Lakewood was the center of our activities, center of our friendships, our worship, our study, and our service. All four of our children were baptized there. It holds a special place in our heart. We never would have imagined worshiping anywhere else. Then God stirred up what I like to call holy discontent. We had concerns in a particular situation that the child youth protection policy was not being followed, and our children were put in a difficult position as a result. So my wife Beth and I considered our options, quickly realized that the agree to disagree option wasn't the right solution, and so we pursued the option of seeking to change. We consulted the Bible and followed the model described in Matthew 18 for dealing with disagreements among Christians and addressed our concerns directly with the particular teacher that was not following the policy. When that didn't resolve our concerns, we took the next step, as Matthew 18 directed, and took the matter to a group of trusted third parties in the church. This didn't yield results either, so we took the final step of escalation to the senior leadership of the church, met with a senior pastor and the children's director and some others, and quickly found out that he was not willing to resolve our concerns. So we were left with just the one option to proceed to disconnect from Lakewood. From our personal experience, we learned some valuable lessons that are worth sharing here with you today. The first one, make no mistake, it was a painful and heart-wrenching decision. That was over 6 years ago, and there's still times when we feel angst about our departure from Lakewood. It was emotional. We maintain a lot of friends from Lakewood and love so many from there, but did feel like that was a heartbreaking situation for us. The second lesson that we took for that, as we described in by following the model in Matthew 18, we were faithful in our approach to leaving Lakewood. And God has honored that faithfulness by guiding us not only ultimately here to Mandarin United Methodist Church, but leading all six of us in the Davis family to a heightened degree of spiritual discipline, spiritual maturity, and discipleship. The third lesson that we took from that is that Lakewood is still standing. It's true. I drove by there yesterday and was stunned to see that it's carrying on without the Davis family. Can you believe that? They've even done a renovation since we left. So if you're wrestling with a decision on how to proceed into this time of uncertainty in the United Methodist Church, I offer you these thoughts. One, know that you're not alone. There are many others wrestling with the same thought process. Secondly, no matter what the outcome is at the 2019 General Conference, the United Methodist Church will feel the effects. Membership will decline, contributions will be reconsidered or maybe even withheld. Third, no matter what the outcome early next year, the church at Mandarin will feel the effect. Some members will leave, our budget will likely face shortfalls, and discipleship and outreach program will need to be adjusted as a result. As lay leader, I don't want any of these things to come to pass, certainly not. But as I prayed about it and considered it, I've realized that it is okay if they do. After all, Jesus never promised his church large buildings, comfortable seats, and dynamic programming. Most important thing that I want to share with you is know that the kingdom of God marches on through these disagreements among mankind. In Christ, the victory has already been won. I implore you to make your decisions prayerfully. Follow your heart, guided by the Holy Spirit. Please, no matter what, don't allow the disagreements among mankind to lead you into bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, and malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave us. I firmly believe that on that glorious day when we stand face to face with Jesus, it won't matter if you worshiped at Mandarin United Methodist Church. It won't matter if you identified as a United Methodist. And it won't matter if your position on a social principle was consistent with all the other souls gathered there with you. The only thing that will matter is that you lived a personal relationship with Jesus as your redeeming Savior. Our unity is found in Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we seek your guidance and your discernment, we just ask that you would help us to discern your will and apply it to our lives and decisions using a process of scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, as John Wesley has laid out for us. Lord, we thank you that indeed the victory has been won and that your kingdom marches on. We ask that each of us will remain connected to that victory and to that march of your kingdom. Lord, we lay our hearts bare for you this morning and ask for your guidance for us individually, for us as a church body, and for us as a denomination. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Will you please stand now and join me in the hymn of dedication, number 347, Spirit Song. Laity Sunday is our opportunity every year to celebrate the lay leadership and membership of this church. We are blessed here at Mandarin by a terrific group of pastors that guide us spiritually. We also have a terrific group of lay membership. I'd like to thank several of them that helped participate today, as it was my privilege and honor to preside over Laity Sunday today. I'd like to thank Robin Overton, who serves as the chairperson of our Board of Trustees and does a terrific job there. Her husband, Mike Overton, is the chairperson of our Staff Parish Relations Committee and is wrapping up 2 years of service there and has done a fantastic job. Their daughter, Carly, is away to college, making her ineligible to serve as chair of the Finance Committee. So instead, we've had to turn to my buddy, Jeff Hayes, over here. Jeff is also wrapping up his second year of leadership of the Finance Committee and has done a fantastic job. So thank you very much to the Overtons and to Jeff Hayes and to all those who faithfully serve and worship and lead here at Mandarin. We are grateful for the lay membership of this church, without which the Church of Christ would not exist. So please join me in this benediction. Lord, as we go forward into your world, let us recognize that we carry the light of the world with us and that there are plenty of disagreements and debates and disputes among mankind. Lord, may we offer a solution of hope through your Son, Jesus, who truly is the way to salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.